A Charles Paris mystery. Sicken and So Die, dramatised by Jeremy Front, from the novel by Simon Brett. With Bill Nighy as Charles Paris. Episode 3.
You don't normally associate Twelfth Night with a high body count, but our production seemed cursed. We'd lost a director and an actor to severe gastric sickness. Then last night, with the first preview looming, our viola collapsed during a rehearsal and died on stage.
Toast burning, Charles.
What? Oh, sorry.
I was convinced this wasn't a run of bad luck and that someone is poisoning the cast.
Should I do that?
No, it's fine.
I was also convinced that I was next on the list.
Jam's in the cupboard.
Of course, Francis thought I was being paranoid.
Mind the jug.
Damn.
Let me do it.
No, I broke it. I'll clear it.
Sit down, Charles. You're all over the place this morning.
Sorry.
You don't have to apologise. Just take a coffee in the other room.
Right.
I'd been lodging with my estranged wife since my flat blew up. The arrangement was a bit tense, but I've got to say she'd been exceptionally gentle with me since I got home last night.
There you go. Toast and jam.
Thanks, darling. I mean, Francis, sorry.
You're still in shock.
It was so horrible. I was actually holding her when she was... I mean, everyone else was there too, you know.
You really liked Sally, didn't you?
As a friend...
Oh, of course.
What was the point? She read me like a book. The A to Z of philanderers. Every time I close my eyes, I see her face.
And nobody knows how it happened.
All I know is she said something jabbed her while she was in the bushes backstage, withholding the detail that I was in the bushes with her.
This is your crazed killer with a syringe full of poison.
Okay, put like that, it sounds far-fetched.
Well, I imagine the police will be handling it now, so if there is anything suspicious going on, they'll dig it up.
At least you agree it looks suspicious.
I said if. Leave it to the police and don't get involved.
But if someone did try to poison me that night at the Indian restaurant, I'm already involved.
Just don't go looking for trouble.
Steady on, Francis. Almost sounds like you're concerned about me. I got to the theatre early, hoping to sniff around before everyone turned up. It had rained overnight, so I got soaked looking for the spot where Sally and I had grappled the day before. Crawling around on all fours, I wasn't even sure what I was looking for. A poisoned dart? A discarded syringe?
Charles!
Oh, bloody hell, Viv, I nearly had a heart attack.
What are you doing lurking in the bushes?
What? I was watching, a bullfinch.
I never had you down as a twitcher.
Oh, yeah, I'm a regular Bilotti, me.
Everyone's in the green room. Apparently Alex has reached a decision.
Right.
Okay, take all your attention, please. Attention. Yeah, it's been a tough night, and I know some of you think that we should pull the show. So I hear what you're saying, but I've been up all night with producers and we have decided now to go ahead.
Talia Northcote, Sally's understudy, was looking decidedly pale.
Oh my God.
What's wrong?
I can't do it.
Yes, you can.
But I'm not ready.
You'll be fine.
Do you think?
Absolutely.
I lied to bolster her confidence.
Alex, can I ask, are you intending to stick to the present schedule?
Yes, but... Talia.
I'm sorry, Alex. Everyone, I don't want to let you all down, but I don't think I'm ready. I mean, I know most of the lines, but there's the blocking.
Yeah, that's okay, Talia. It's okay, because Jack and Sally, they were interchanging. Now he is going to play Sebastian and Viola.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it will enhance the conceptual overview of the play.
Are you all right?
No, I'm not bloody all right. A couple of extra rehearsals and I could have done it.
Ben Ritson was also trembling with rage. In life, he'd have done anything for Sally. Now she was dead, he had to speak up.
Can I just say, I know I'm not the only person who thinks we're showing a lack of respect to Sally's memory.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Ben, but I like to think of this very much as an epitaph for poor Sally.
Yeah, I agree with Alex.
Yeah, well, you would.
What's that supposed to mean?
You've just doubled the size of your role.
I'm not even going to dignify that with respect.
Okay, trust me, Ben, trust me. This was a tough call, but I've made it for the creative integrity of the production.
Yeah, cheers, Alex.
Can I just add that Sally was a highly professional actress and that we should all dedicate this show to her name.
Very touching from the man who called Sally a time-wasting, airhead, D-list celebrity.
Come in, Charles.
I didn't want to burst in if
it's
you
very
were...
very considerate, but it's just me.
Ah.
I hear the show's still on.
How did you hear?
Morris phoned for a chat.
I don't know which part of that sentence surprises me most. The fact that my agent called, or that he called for a chat.
He was very talkative.
It can't be the same Morris.
They were on for ages.
His body must have been taken over by aliens. What's the music?
Steve Reich.
Mm. It's very, repetitive.
It was a present from Scott.
Oh. Cultured guy, young Scott.
Will you stop calling him young?
Well, he is young, isn't he?
Younger than me, but not as young as some of the girls you've hooked up with
okay,
over the years.
Okay.
You seen the papers today?
Well, I haven't had time.
Seems your friend Sally had a stalker. Here.
Beneath a picture of Sally was a bog-standard showbiz obit. I skimmed to the bit about some woman who'd followed her around for months, then vanished without trace when the police made an appearance.
Interesting.
You want to be grateful you're unknown.
Thanks.
A large scotch at bedtime usually knocks me out, but not that night. My mind was swimming in a soup of fragmented thoughts, all those names, faces, and disjointed events leading up to Sally's death.
These little mushroomy things are to die for.
Enough airheads and time wasters in this business, eh? Enough D-list celebs masquerading as actors?
And now Gavin's off the scene, we can get down to some proper work.
Is that blood?
Oh, shit. What?
I don't know. Something jumped into me.
What? What? Whoa. Oh. 5:30. Oh, God.
The British love nothing more than standing shoulder to shoulder in the face of adversity, and the spirit of the Blitz was alive and well when we went charging towards the first preview. Even I managed to throw myself into Alex's cutting-edge zeitgeist production.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the 12th Night Company. This is your half-hour call. Your half-hour call. Thank you.
Okay, people, your attention, please. Thank you. So, it has been an intense journey, but we arrive. So, I thank you. Thank you for your hard work, for your dedication, and I thank you for your trust. So, my friends, you go out there and give them theatre!
Hooray!
Music be the food of love. Play on. Give me excess of it. The surfeiting, the appetite may sicken and so die. That strain again, it had a dying fall.
A great while ago, the world began with a hey, ho, the wind and the rain. But that's all one, our play is done, and we'll strive to please you every day.
Much as it pains me to admit it, Alexandru Radulescu pulled off yet another coup de théâtre.
Well done, Charlie.
Well done, you. Well done.
There you go. Champagne for the ladies.
Oh, thanks.
Hello for you, Charles.
Thank you. Cheers.
I don't know how you did that, but you just pulled off a hell of a trick.
I tell you, mate, I was flying by the seat of my pants.
But you did it.
We all did it. So, what's all this?
Vasile Bogdan slouched over with the face of an Easter Island statue.
We were just congratulating ourselves.
You did well, Jack.
I think we all pulled off a minor miracle.
I wasn't in the zone tonight.
Rubbish! Give me a hug, you silly boy.
Vasile was playing for sympathy. Still, it was the first time I'd noticed how buddy-buddy he and Viv had become.
Don't worry, guys. Tomorrow I'll raise my game.
Whatever that meant.
Has anyone seen Alex? I hope he's happy.
Oh, I think he got what he wanted.
A flicker passed between Vasile and Viv, and I was wondering if it meant anything or nothing when...
Ah, the man of the moment!
Alex walked towards us, head back, arms outstretched as if he was about to embrace the entire cast.
What can I say, eh? Hey, what I tell you, Charles? You hear, audience, when you kissed Egg your cheek, you could feel the sexual tension there was tangible frisson.
Absolutely.
Ass.
Wonder boy, some mother's son. Life is full of work and plunder. Easy go, life is not real. Life is only what you conjure.
Despite the show's success, there was the small matter of an unresolved death hanging over it. All the way home, my mind flitted from thought to thought. Who'd want Gavin off the show? Did someone poison Ken, or was it meant for me? Where did Sally fit into the equation? Was there an equation, or was I just a paranoid fantasist?
One Aussie Grenache and a bowl of marinated olives.
Lovely.
This used to be a proper pub before the British discovered seared scallops and spatchcocked chickens.
I prefer it now.
That's because you're a girl.
I haven't been a girl for 35 years, but thanks for the compliment.
We had a late call, so I asked Frances out for lunch, and to my amazement, she said yes.
And what the hell's pan-fried tuna? I mean, how else are they supposed to fry it? In a bucket?
Are you going to moan all through lunch?
Beer's all right.
Thank God for that.
So? How's Scott?
He's busy setting up his course.
Canadian literature.
Well?
What?
Well, I'm waiting for the facetious remark.
I've already apologised for that. I'm a reformed sarky bastard.
Show's been well reviewed.
Yeah, it's called the Radulescu effect.
Can't wait to see it.
Well, wait till it comes to the West End.
What's happening about Sally Luther?
I don't think there's been a post-mortem yet, but I reckon they'll be in for a shock.
Come on then, Inspector Paris, who's in the frame?
Okay, well, Alex had the most to gain from Gavin dropping out, but he wasn't on the scene. However, he might have had an accomplice in Vasile. They knew each other, and I heard them talking Romanian.
It's not actually a crime in itself.
But I heard Vasile saying that now Gavin was off the scene, they could get down to some proper work.
Wow, he actually said that?
Okay.
Well, it's hardly proof of murder. And what did he have to gain by Sally's death? The sound of a theory crumbling.
Well, Jack Bradley hated Sally, and he's desperate to reinvent himself as a serious actor, and he and Sally were alternating roles, so odds on he'd take over both if she went.
Sounds a tad unlikely.
Unless Jack's in cahoots with Vasile. Maybe they conspired to get Gavin out and Alex in.
It's too complicated. Too many things to go wrong.
Well, yes, but if...
Well, that's the problem with your theory. It's all ifs and maybes.
Okay, fact. One minute Sally Luther was a fit, healthy young woman. The next minute she was dead. Fact. I was with her when she felt that jab.
Charles?
I was helping her with her lines.
In the bushes? Well,
yes. Actually.
Speculation.
What?
Was the killer after her or you?
Oh.
Fact. I'm absolutely starving. Yeah. Excuse me, is there any chance our food might arrive?
Ladies and gentlemen of the 12th Night Company, this is your 15-minute call. Your 15-minute call.
Another full house tonight.
Alex's the advance bookings are looking good for London.
Well, the reviews have been extremely positive.
Helped, it must be said, by poor Sally's death.
I'm so cynical, Charles.
He's right. And I still think the producers should have pulled the plug straight away.
We all know what you think.
And what good would it have done apart from putting us all out of work?
That's all you lot care about.
Maybe you should care about it a bit more.
What's that supposed to mean?
This isn't a game, Ben. It's how some of us make our bloody living.
Jack!
Well, I mean...
It's just a pity that we get all this extra publicity on the back of Sally's death.
A pity? Is that all it is to you?
Of course we'd rather have Sally here and less publicity.
Of course we would.
Lad I grew up with got married a year ago. Wakes up one morning, feels a bit woozy. Massive heart attack, bang, all over.
Yeah. That's probably what happened to Sally.
It didn't look like a heart attack to me.
What then?
Anaphylactic shock.
Was she allergic to anything?
I often think that if you wanted to bump someone...
Oh, you are a macabre bugger, Charles.
No, but if you did and you knew they had an allergy, all you'd have to do was expose them to peanuts or whatever it was.
Who'd want to kill Sally?
Yes, who would?
Well, we've all got pasts, people we've wronged, enemies.
What are you looking at me for?
I wasn't.
I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say we were big mates, but I didn't wish her any harm.
Of course not. Who would?
Everybody loved Sally.
She had a stalker a few years ago.
Who hasn't?
I haven't.
So... what skeletons have you got in your cupboard, Charles?
More than I'd care to mention. How about yours? Vasile cracked a deadpan smile. He didn't give much away, but he had planted an idea in my head.
I'm sorry, but I think it's incredibly bad taste turning Sally's death into a game of Cluedo.
The show was a bit anticlimactic after the adrenaline-fueled tour de force of the previous evening. Afterwards, the usual gang headed for the Star of Bengal. But I had plans of my own. Screwdriver. Torch. Pencil. Hip flask. That's better. Alex, Viv and Vasile were sharing a cottage about half a mile from the theatre. So I reckoned a full Indian meal with drinks should give me enough time to break in and have a snoop around. Someone had conveniently left a downstairs window ajar. At least they left the lid down. I switched on the torch, crept out into the darkened hall and headed straight upstairs. I still didn't know exactly what I was looking for, but I wondered if there might be more in Vasile's cupboard than the poker face let on. Three doors gave onto the landing. I felt like Goldilocks. Ip dip sky blue. Who's it, not you? I shone the torch. An old wardrobe, a dressing table, an iron frame bed with a pile of books on the bedside table. 1,000 Sudokus and a Tony Parsons. Neither officially toxic. As I moved away, I kicked something heavy which skidded under the bed.
Fungi of the British Isles. Well, well.
But who lives in a room like this? The torch beam lit a highly polished wooden box on an old dressing table.
What have we got here?
Bloody hell. Inside the box was an array of small glass vials. Aconite, belladonna, arsenic. Damn. Okay, Charles, keep calm.
What about a corkscrew?
Yeah, go out and fetch a corkscrew and then I can get the hell out of here.
One, babe, it's a screw top. Oh, yeah. And how about you,
babe?
Yeah? Are you screw top?
Oh, no.
That's
for you to find out.
Please, go to another room. Go to Romania. Go anywhere, but not in here. I suddenly remembered Run For Your Wife, Frinton Rep, 1985, and without thinking, found myself curled up under the bed with a face full of fluff balls and a long forgotten sock.
I've got a terrible feeling my clothes are about to fall off.
Oh, this is terrible. Quick, lie down.
Oh, lordy, lord. But it should come to this.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I started listing all the British prime ministers since Disraeli.
Oh, Alex.
Gladstone.
Don't stop.
Robert Gascoigne Cecil.
I want you, did you know?
The Earl of Rosebery. No! This is not good.
What? Why?
No, the bed is terrible. How do you sleep in it?
Oh, who cares about sleeping? A few weeks ago we did it on Hampstead Heath.
No, that was when we were in first flush of passion. Now we need comfortable bed. Come, we go to my room.
To be on the safe side, I counted up to Harold Macmillan, then took one of the vials and crept out into the night. Once clear of the cottage, I knocked back most of my hip flask and then phoned Francis.
Hello?
It's me.
Are you drunk?
You're not going to believe what I found out.
Oh, God, wait till you get back.
It's Viv.
What is?
I've just been in her bedroom.
Uh-huh.
No, I broke in while she was out.
What?
She's the poisoner.
Charles.
Alex is probably in it with her. They're an item, you see. I reckon he can twist her around. Oh!
You all right?
Oh, Anyway, she's got this sort of medicine chest full of... Ow!
Charles?
Oh, and the book was hers. Oh, my stomach.
Charles? Charles, are you okay? Charles! Charles, speak to me. Where are you? Charles...
No, you don't understand.
I'm trying to understand, sir.
I'm not drunk.
In my experience, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, and quacks like a duck, it's a duck.
But I'm not a duck. I mean,
problem,
I'm not...
Problem, Sergeant?
PC Hughes found this gentleman in Hill Road. He'd been sick and was wandering around in a rather distressed state, sir.
Too right, I'm distressed. I've been poisoned.
Can't argue with that.
Not by booze. Believe me, I'm a highly experienced drinker. I know my limits, and I was nowhere near them tonight.
Then how do you explain your condition, sir?
I told you, I've been poisoned. Someone spiked my scotch.
Spiked it with what, sir?
With... this.
I fumbled in my pocket and handed him the vial I'd stolen from Viv's room.
Or something very like it.
You better come with me, sir.
These are very serious accusations, Mr. Parrish.
Paris?
Mr. Paris. So I need to establish the facts.
Look, it wouldn't have been difficult to spike a hip flask. It was in my jacket pocket, hanging in the dressing room for the whole show.
Is there a reason someone would want you dead?
I shrugged, not least because the bottle I'd handed over as evidence was in fact stolen property. Property stolen by me.
Well, I suppose there's always someone with a grudge or...
Well, a grudge, eh? Any names?
I'd rather not point the finger of suspicion at anyone in particular.
May I ask why?
I've got to work with these people.
Well, I'm going to work with PC Hughes, but I'd point the finger at him if I thought he tried to kill me.
He had a rather annoying little smile when he thought he was being clever.
So, you believe it to be one of your colleagues?
Well...
Are there a lot of actors who might want to murder you, Mr. Paris?
That smile again. Inspector Dewar clearly shared a sense of humour with Francis.
Couldn't you do some sort of forensic test on what's left in the hip flask?
Do I tell you how to speak iambic pentameter, Mr. Paris?
I can see you think I'm a paranoid actor, but some pretty odd things have been happening on this production. You must know about Sally Luther's death.
That's an ongoing inquiry.
So the police also think Sally's death was suspicious?
I am not at liberty to discuss that. Are you suggesting that you're suspected... poisoning is linked to that case.
So, there is a case.
The smile, but no comment. Still, Dewar did agree to send my flask off for tests.
Charles?
My head.
You look dreadful.
Well, I feel worse.
When are you going to learn?
It's not what you think.
Look at the time. Where on earth have you been?
In a police cell.
What?
Yeah.
And in my rattled state, I filled her in on the night's events.
This is getting serious, Charles.
You think?
You'd better see a doctor in the morning.
I'm all right.
If you've been poisoned...
I must have thrown up whatever it was, otherwise I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you now.
So what are you going to do?
Oh, sleep.
And then?
I'll think about it in the morning.
Oh, Cornyn's sick tomorrow. Let your understudy go on.
Well, I don't want to let them down.
Even if one of them's trying to kill you?
I looked into her eyes. Frances really cared about me. I went to bed happy that night.
Angel came down from heaven yesterday. She stayed with me just long enough to rescue me.
I got up late next morning, looked in the bathroom mirror and wished I hadn't. A hot shower brought me back to life, so I decided to phone Gavin, see if he knew anything about Alex and Viv. He didn't, but he told me the doctors had finally nailed his mystery illness. It was an ulcer. One minute I had Viv as my prime suspect, the next minute, back to square one. I was about to set off for the theatre when...
Oh, damn. Hello.
Mr. Paris, this is Detective Inspector Dewar.
Ah, hi.
How are you feeling today?
Like death warmed up.
I'm not surprised. I thought you might like to know the lab results on your hip flask.
Blimey, that was quick.
I'll put it through as a priority. The powder in the vial was aconite, which can be poisonous, but not in that sort of quantity. It's probably a homeopathic remedy.
Oh, I see. Okay. What remained of my theory flushed down the drain. Well...
However, the hip flask did contain traces of a poisonous substance.
Really?
Mercuric chloride. Very nasty stuff. Quite frankly, Mr. Paris, I think you're very lucky to be alive.
Hey, Joe. Where you going with that gun of yours?
In Sicken and So Die, dramatised by Jeremy Front, Charles Paris was played by Bill Nye, Francis, Suzanne Burden, Alex Radulescu, Julian Ryan Tutt, and Jack Bradley, John Cummins. Vasile Bogdan was played by Ryan McCluskey, Vivian Marlin, Elizabeth Bell, Ben Ritson, Tom Lawrence, Talia Northcott, Alex Tregear, and Inspector Dewar, Kim Wall. The director is Sally Avens.